Well, joining us for his regular chat, that is Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Good morning.
How are you?
Chilly.
Chilly? Is it cold where you are?
Chilly, unfortunately, man. Yeah, but that's been forecast. No, they were forecasting thunderstorms today, so early days yet.
Early days. Lots to get through as ever. Let's start with some breaking Leeds United news that's come out this morning, KB, is that the American football team, the San Francisco 49ers, have taken a minority stake in Leeds. Radrizzani's described the deal as a strategic partnership. 49ers will now have a presence on the Leeds board, and it's reported that they're going to get 10% of Leeds United.
Well, it's very interesting. What now should be perhaps a lot more information coming up. So the strategic stake, whatever that lovely phrase means, interesting. But the Leeds owner, let's face it, he's been active in quite a few directions. He's done his controversial trip to the murderous regime that used to be called Burma. He has beaten Sky to get the La Liga live TV commentary for the next 3 years coverage, which suggests he has ambitions in widening his communications empire, which he started in Singapore. So interesting moves. I've sent that what he should do for the benefit of the Leeds fans is to take his fans into his conference and tell him where he sees Leeds going and why he's doing the things you think you're doing. But the important thing now is the preparations for next season. It's because the World Cup is going to be rather complicated. Because in there, this rumour, Claudio Ranieri is going to become the manager, or possibly become the manager of Leeds United. Now that, recently now, I had Ranieri at Chelsea. And he was very successful. And like me, he's a long-termist. He won't move in the next 5 or 6 games. So sit down and plan for the future. And you've really got to look at Leeds United, at Leicester City. What he achieved there at a relatively small club. Just think what he could achieve at Leeds United. But has to be clear, some clear ground lines. A. Who does he report to? B. Who is his boss? C. What are the long-term aims of Leeds United's owners? And B. How do they propose step by step to achieve it? And to do that, you have to take your fans into confidence and explain it to them. But it does require paper. Something which in recent years, unfortunately, and what fans must realise, because they do, if you engage in Twitter, for example, I think they're just chatting among their friends. Because Twitter is seen worldwide by many people who may have interest in football or ideas. Then you have to judge the club by what its fans say. And then you have to ask yourself, do I want to get involved in this? Are they supporters long-term or there's short-term morons? That's very important. far more important than people realise. In 2012, about September, I had a deal delivered, agreed, and all typed up with a young American billionaire and he put £15 million into his Louis Slimes account. We met in Venice, I mean, not for the first time. He gave me a lift back in his private jet, came and stayed in Leeds. Ready to go. We had dinner the night before the game, and he came as my guest to the game the next day. And he listened to all the filth being spewed out in the cup. All those people who knew everything, they didn't put their hand in the pocket. They had so short arms, long pockets. And the guy was just so disgusted, he walked out. Never heard from him again. She just said, doesn't want to know, doesn't want to be part of it, and I've refunded his money. That £15 million wasn't going into my pocket. It's given me new shares, new money invested in the club. We should move on to our next phase. Now, as ignorance of the 49ers, they've taken a strategic stake. Does that mean they bought their 10% from the town owner? Or does it mean they subscribed for 10% new shares? It will cash into a club. It's important. It's been cloudy around the area, which would be a very good move. I don't think he will come. It's very clearly spelled out in writing. All aspects of the requirements, his term, the guarantee of the support he will need. Let me tell you a story about Ranieri, which is very important of his attitude. He was the manager of Napoli, which is or was a mafioso owned club, and for those who have been international, Maradona, he was a star of Napoli, and he had to retire. And the owners were saying to Ranieri, you've got to go out and replace him to get somebody else, another attractive player, somebody, a world-class player like that. And of course, you can never replace an icon, and we found a manager. So Ranieri said, no, if I sign somebody, if you like, in the Maradona league, there's nobody as good as him. So anybody comes in will be compared to Maradona. And he will be under possible pressure from the start. He said, no, I've got a 17-year-old kid in the reserves. And nobody's heard of him. So he'll be now under no pressure. Nothing we expect of him, but I promise you. And so he bloodied that kid. Eventually became known as Gianfranco Zola. And Claudio moved to Rome. He took Zola with him. And one of the attractions he had to come to Chelsea was Zola was already there. He's a long-termist. He's ahead. The week he took over at Chelsea, Sorry I'm telling you Chelsea-based story, but I'm an Australian man. So if Leeds could get him, be a great, great fillip to the club. Anyway, he'd join us on the Saturday or Sunday. Tuesday night, they had a reserve match. And Taylor and watching it. Called the end of the game. Who's that noisy boy there that's really shouting all the time? He was told, he said, one day he will be my captain. John Terry. One day he will be my captain. Now, Leeds with a great reputation for being youngsters in the academy. But you have to have the kind of manager who's patient and give them time to develop. Some managers, of course, want instant success. Just spend. That could be a very positive sign. But he will only come if the conditions are right. If we're prepared to give him the time he will need. Well, it was a great way to start the Thursday meeting with interview.
Well, we're KB, let's move on to some other football news. And plenty going on ahead of the World Cup. Harry Kane's been named as the England captain. And I suppose it's a debate that turns up every time they have a new England captain, is whether or not, do you need a captain? Is it important now in world football? Is it in international football? Is it just sort of ceremonial position now?
No. It's always important when you have a team, we have a leader. Going back to Ranieri, that's why he saw Terry as his leader. And that's why successful clubs successfully have leaders. You have to have captains with a boss. They're the managers representing the dressing room. And they can get things done. The managers can't. So it's very important. I can remember Tony Adams, marvellous captain for Arsenal. Billy Bremner, get who played for now. Marvellous captain, marvellous leader. And it's important England has football. Because what you have to remember also is that unfortunately there is this possibility when a player gets to an England team, since he's made it, got the t-shirt, knows it all, blah, blah, blah. So the captain has to be a really strong person there, train their bloody hunches. See what's encouraging, we've got a manager who started with a clean sheet of paper, started from scratch, and he's building a team in his own image. The reputation means for nothing. And I think that Southgate had a very good start by having to clear out some of the players who may be still believing the team because of their reputation. And Wilshere is an example how he's stormed off and only toyed out the pan. He thinks he should be in the England team. Well, just have a look at his fitness record. Will he stand up to the intensive months in what can be very hot weather? Why should Southgate take the risk? Then you start planning now for 2022. Only 4 years away. But Keane is high profile, works really hard, school dog. She's always in casual in the intention. We've seen much. So I think that she's a good sign. And I wish him well. And to be fair to Wilshire, well, I thought he didn't need to say or shouldn't have done what he did say. He did finish up, and he concluded by wishing the England team the best of luck. So he supported them. That was good.
Elsewhere in football, KB, there's a new manager at Arsenal now. Unai Emery has taken over from Arsene Wenger. Some massive shoes to fill, really, after 22 years of Arsene Wenger. You've had to replace managers in the past yourself quite often. Probably not one that's been with the club 22 years, but I imagine that's it's a unique situation they've got there at Arsenal, really.
Well, not unique. I mean, I'm old enough to... I lived in Lancashire. I was very well in, and know, and still do know, the four top people at Man United. Bobby Charlton, Martin Edwards, etc, etc. One of the problems they had Matt Busby, who was, of course, an absolutely amazing manager. And when Matt retired, they took them three managers before someone could come out of the shadow of Busby being managed in his own right. They appointed Franco Fowle, who failed. I can't remember the former midfield player who also promoted the manager, who failed. And more recently, of course, Fergie retired. It destroyed David Moore's career. What a great admiration for David Moore. He was, came from nowhere, Preston. Moved up to Everton, did a great job at Everton. But he had no chance of taking over in Busby's shadow. And that's the problem. It was difficult to get Chelsea. And I replaced Hullet. And we took a bit of stick about it, but the reason that I'm going to in public, unfortunately, Vialli succeeded him and became Chelsea's most successful manager in history until the Bombers took over. Now the advantage of this man at Arsenal, he never got rid of him, so people will give him the benefit of time and see how he starts. He starts with a good press conference, saying nothing but saying it well. And of course, Wenger is leaving, if like in the autumn of his career. And the fair weather friends were cheering, shouting out, and the auntie's retired, and it's all thank you for 22 years in Bardi Bardi Bar. So we know how fickle fans can be. But Arsenal are quiet, low profile, run the club well. You don't hear very much about them off the field. They get on with it. Maybe they will be, and in some years I hope they do. They restore their mantle as one of the challenging clubs in Chelsea, in London.
Actually, just as you mentioned Chelsea there, KB, winning the FA Cup. I suppose a positive spin on the end of the season. I'm not sure if Antonio Conte is going to stick around during the summer. There's lots of murmurings that they've already selected the next manager. But I suppose it just...
Well, on that particular one, you seem to have to sit back and wait and find out. Because the unexpected always happens at Chelsea. Don't forget... Bobby Dino Teo, excuse me, won the European League and the European Cup in this action. So you don't know what goes on in the Russian mind. It's very different to the way we think. So it's hard to second guess them.
Yeah, I think so. On to other news, KB. Some really bad news in retail in the last couple of days. One of the most famous brands in British retail, Marks and Spencer's, suffered a massive fall in annual profits, and they're going to be closing 100 shops over the next 4 years, which they say is vital for its future, but very sad.
Yeah, but if we go back, you see, we lost Woolworths 3 years ago. lost BHS, Philip Green's empire. His other half of his empire is struggling a bit. Their profits are down. But I think to a certain extent the era is coming to an end for different reasons. First of all, they're very highly priced, overpriced, fashion. This is, hang on, I've got a thing. They're very highly overpriced fashion names. Going through a bit of bad time at the moment. Because I think that ladies who shop, even though they've got plenty of money, I begin to take exception to the silly prices they're being charged compared with competition. I'll give a small example. You know, I live in Monaco, and as you also know, when ladies buy clothes, they finish up with a big bag in which they swan around the town centre. Now, the ladies will understand this particularly. When they've got Leo Piana, Dolce Gianna, etc. All the bags are labelled Zara. Now, I've got some shares in Zara, but I've never heard of them. They're in fact a Spanish company, and they've become a very big presence in them. That's also partly the fashion industry's own fault, because they're greedy and stupid. Last year, we got here to Portofino, and Suzanne had forgotten to pack my socks. So, do you know any socks are there? I said, don't worry, darling, we'll go down the street and get some. So, I went in Villa Piana, which used to be one of their regular watering holes, and asked for a pair of socks. We bought a pair out. €170. That's about £130. For a pair of socks. I walked out, I haven't been back in there since. So people are cutting back, and people are realising you can get very good clothes from the new names that are coming through. And, of course, online. But the other problem we've got is that rents have been ridiculously high for the last few years. And if you shut shops, you get rid of the rent. Big overhead. There's another problem, which is sure sort of putting pressure on the property owners. They changed the law years ago, in the old days, there was no council tax on empty shops, empty commercial properties. There are now. So you're a property company. One day are collecting rent. Next day are not collecting rent, but also have to pay the rates on the empty shop which isn't bringing income in. So it's a knock-on effect with property shares being hit hard. At the same time, of course, you can now get stuff delivered online overnight. And that's for huge prices. So I think these shops are going to suffer. The knock-on effect that's coming pretty well about is town centres, if not careful, become ghost towns. It is very funny. But life moves on.
Yeah, it is very sad. You're right, KB, but that, you know, they do need to move on. Actually, talking of things that you were talking about, getting the crowds in. The crowds were out at the weekend for the royal wedding. Was it on your radar? Were you a big Meghan Markle fan before she married Prince Harry?
No, I think I'm a big Meghan Markle fan. I like the way she conducted herself. Was unfortunate way of her not always fully savoury relatives kind of tried to jump on the bandwagon. But we just have to see how they go. I wish them well. They're a refreshing change to contrast to some of the others. Wish them well. Let's see how it goes. I must say I like the Prince Harry's indiscretion during the ceremony when he was dragging on a bit. And some lip reader heard him whispering to Meghan with his bride, I think it's time for a drink. And that was a first. But I wish them well. Probably quite as pompous circumstances they are. Have previously been in a refreshing couple, and so they can stand on the pressures of a much more high profile celebrity lifestyle.
Finally, KB, worth just having a mention of Brexit as things sort of rumble on. And just some news that came out that did make me chuckle a little bit. Boris Johnson's been criticised because he wants his own plane. He wants a Brexit plane.
Always be willing to help. I'm always on the scene when someone has a problem. Now, purely by chance and coincidence, I think there's a solution to Boris's moan about not being out of those yet. I got a text yesterday because I come over by I charter a jet when I come over, and yesterday I was offered a half share in a jet which is based in Monaco and obviously stationed at Nice Airport. There was a half share for sale. Was offered to me. Now, I don't believe in that kind of using that much. But I think this would be ideal for Boris. It's only €870,000. He'd have a half share in it, which means he could split the running costs and the fuel costs and the crew wages and so on and so forth, insurance, maintenance, etc. €870,000. This is double. If Boris is interested, he'll have to give me a call and I'll put him in touch with the person on service half. And the gentleman is English, so we keep him flying the flag, have a Union Jack painting with English and so. I think we solved the problem. We'll probably do a deal next week. How's that? We need an opportunity.
Well, KB, as ever, always a pleasure. We'll catch up around the same time next week.
Thank you and good luck.